Thank you for joining me on this fourth day of December 2019. Excuse me. I was having an interesting discussion, you know, about living the best life that I can, and I love to talk about that because I like to think that I'm in the midst of living. And every day is an exciting day in my life. But I was speaking with one of my students of theology years ago, and he's still a thinker. He is a very bright thinker, and he called me and asked me what he usually does. What did I think of what's going on today? We had a very interesting discussion. I don't try to paint a picture pretty when it's ugly. And one of the things that we were discussing was how do we fix our community, the African-American community, and why has it become the way it is? Is there a solution to solve this momentum problem that we are confronted with as we analyze our community? We both agreed that the community that we live in has become totally feminized, that there are not enough patriarchal thinkers in America today as there used to be. This is why. And we were just surmising all of this, and well over an hour of conversation, we were attempting to come up with, you know, as we so often did years ago, problem solving, solution formatted language, until we realize that that is what the black community has been doing for myriads, long periods of time, only to come to nothing. So what must we do? Well, I suggested in the conversation that we as black leaders in the black community should write a new template altogether. Throw out all the other ones. Now let's discuss some of the ones that I'm thinking about throwing out. Primarily, the religious clause. We need to disregard anything the church said that they could do for any of our people, because the church has proven to be, as an institution, a failed entity. You can't find one decent, huge African-American Christian ministry that is effectively defining God in the purest form of conservatism. They're not. Most of our churches have become liberal bastions, people that lean to the left. And when I think of the church, I think of Rita Walters. I think of her. That's the black woman in the church. I'm totally incapable of understanding persons of such. I can't. And so the church is out. You don't take a template from God if the people that you're talking to in no way has ever proven themselves to have listened to God in the past. What I mean by that is this. The Civil Rights Union, under the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, under Martin Luther King, and then other leaders, that is gone. the mentality of our communities, the mentality of the black women in our communities is not the same as back in the mid-60s. Trust me, it is not. If I graduated from high school in 1962, listen to me. Why don't you go to Google and do research and see what living in America as a black man was like in 1962. I was 18 years old. Then, as a matter of fact, you can type in a Google search or a YouTube search of 1962 Los Angeles. And a myriad of videos. Look at those. And then you will know where my mind is coming from. Burgeoning into. And then go 2 years in advance. The United States or Los Angeles in the year 1965. When I was drafted into the Army. Look at the pictures. They have motion pictures of how my world looked. I was on YouTube the other day looking at scenes from downtown Los Angeles, and I explicitly recall seeing that yellow and green streetcar in the middle of Broadway and 7th Street, and I remember I saw a white policeman with a white hat when I was a kid directing traffic at that same intersection when I was a kid, 8, 9 years old. I remember seeing the white cop. There were no black cops in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, directing traffic in a dark blue LAPD uniform with a white hat on and a whistle and a gun directing the pedestrians. And I told my grandma, I remember this. I told my grandma when I saw that scene as a young kid, I want to do that. And she said, what? Because we had just stepped off the streetcar. And I said, I want to direct the people and tell them when to cross. And now, here's a miracle about that. That was my job in the 80s as a civilian traffic officer on that same intersection in the middle of the street directing traffic. And I recall when I was a traffic officer, when I was a kid, getting off the streetcar in that same corner, 7th and Broadway, in Los Angeles. Now, that may be a good Google search for you to do. Then you'll know why my mind frames its references in the way it does. I'm no dreamer. I've seen stuff and experienced stuff that some of you listening to me now have never thought about. So I'm a valuable human being when I tell you that for the inner city African American community, a new template has to be put together, because the original one that I came up under when I was a kid, when my worldview was being framed, see, because I take it that you stopped this piece and went back and looked at some 1944, when I was born, what was the world like? Go to a Google search and type in 1944 American radio. Listen to about 25 minutes of that. Smoke a little sativa. Clear your mind. Go back. Listen to the commercials. Listen to the ads. Listen to the way the radio programs were run. They got it. It's all on computer. You can just go into those search engines and search all that out. then begin to see how I grew to understand systems. I recall when I was a kid, I hated math, doing math, and I still hold to the idea that me personally as a human being, I don't want to know about trigonometry, chemistry, any of that. I don't care. I have been more interested in how we coexist. I've always felt like that. I think that's one of the reasons why one of my careers was a pastor, because I believe in this utopia effect. I believe that everyone should live side by side with each other in peace and harmony. And the only way that that is done now is that if we operate by the template to which we were supposed to live by. When I was a pastor in the church and my faith was Christian, and I still hold to much of that because it has influenced the way I live and the way I think and the way I move. But I'm living in a new age. I'm literally living in the age of Aquarius, having never been a student of astrology and what it teaches. I find it a fascinating system to investigate my whatabouts these days. And about 100% correct in every aspect of who I am. So, since that works for me, I am living the best life that I possibly can. I believe still connected to the God that created me. Unfortunately, some people don't believe that, but that's because they're holding to a European type of religion that teaches that if somebody doesn't believe the way I believe, then they don't have the right to live. All right? Therefore, we have bombs strapped to the bodies, people walking up on people, stabbing them to death. And our schools in this country, please, it looks like crazy, deranged white people with firearms. Don't get me wrong. I'm on the far right when it comes to firearms. I think everyone should be allowed to own one. But at the same time, I think that many of my brothers that own these weapons need to be given the psychological exam test to see whether they fully understand what they have at their fingertips. Because when you really ask me, these are some crazy people with these guns these days. And I think that we need to watch that very closely. But back to brass tacks. Writing a new template, I thought it was difficult until I learned. See, I may be 75 plus and getting older. I like to think that I'm becoming brighter every day, because, and do excuse me, I'm chewing on some protein power snack mix, and it's great. But I believe that as I write this new template of my life, and what I'm hoping that you would do is to listen to me and take it to heart what I'm saying, because this is how you can get out of your personal dilemma. And this is me just pondering on it. And I want you to listen and let me know what you think. And you know what is weird? Because I have engagements that I can be attending. In other words, places that I need to go to, but I'm here in the studio doing this because I'm a free man. I don't operate by anybody else's clock or agenda. I have things that I want to do, but the things that I do are not contingent upon what other people do, because if other people don't operate within the schedule that I operate in, I don't have anything to do with it. Now, we're talking about writing a new template. You want to write a new template so you won't get the wrong kind of friends, the kind that's going to pull you down instead of lift you up and encourage you. Well, you have to think about how you met that person. Write in your template past history. That means the past before you can adequately deal with the present, and therefore you cannot make the correct diagnosis of the future until you've done that. See what I mean? You have to build a template that you can work through, a workable template. See, the black family has been building their template through someone else's. Stop looking at LeBron James. He's a paid clown. He makes his money through what is it? I can't say the term. Buffoonery. He's a buffoon. I don't. Wait. We waste a lot of time because our template has too much entertainment involved in it. Your children didn't need that big old screen TV. Look, friend of mine, rest his soul, he's gone now. White fella. His last name was Sims. He was a traffic officer like myself when I worked as a civilian traffic officer for the LAPD. Sims was white. If there was a white boy that could be called a redneck, it was Sims, because he was chubby, had a little stomach, and his neck was actually red, especially when he laughed. And I looked at him and I would say something like, "Look at that redneck. He probably want to get me in the desert to kill me." Well, that's what I used to think secretly, until Sims asked me, would I go hunting rabbit with he and some of his friends out in the wilderness somewhere, Palm Springs somewhere, up in the side of a mountain. And I said, "You want me to go?" He said, "Yeah, we'll come by and pick you up and take you." I said, "But I'm a black man." And he said, "That's why we want to pick you up." He says, "You're a Christian, like I'm a Christian, and we would like to invite you as we go rabbit hunting." And I said, "But Sims, I've never hunted for a rabbit, and if I did eat it, which I think I've eaten it once, it would only be on the plate of a restaurant, not out in the woods. I don't go hunting for food." And then I thought, "Oh my God, this cracker want to kill me." I don't know why I did. And finally, because he gave me the weekend to think about where I go. Came back Monday on the job after roll call. He said, "Well, are you going?" I said, "No." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I think you guys are going to get together and kill a nigga out there. And I'm not going to be that nigga for you to kill." Now, that was my template. I couldn't figure why. Listen to me, brothers. Everybody offering you something, like a trip, some money, all this. See, your mama would say, "Ooh, boy, you better jump on that. You may not never get a chance to go to Hawaii again. Gone. You better jump on that." No. Oh, you got to get control of your own life. by getting a hell of a lot of control on how all these signals and things come into your head tie in to make you a far better person than you are today. You see, and now you can do that by, why did I send you on this wild goose chase going to Google, looking at when I was born and all that? You can only analyze me by knowing about me realistically, who I am, through the error, through the time and the things that influenced me. I am a philosopher. That is why, after I stopped being a pastor, I taught in the college. I am a philosopher. I've done the work. I'm looking at my 3 degrees in my office right now in living color. I am a retired pastor. I'm looking at the degree from Talbot Theological Seminary. I am a good supervisor. I'm looking at my degree in public administration and governmental supervision. So I got a philosophy degree, a religious degree, and one of those supervisors. I know how to take care of organization of the mind. I'm a brilliant black man if you put me in the era that I grew up in. Whether you accept it as a fact or not, I know who I am, what I am, why I am. My template is one that is written on past history, because past history developed me and made me who I am. I don't listen or look at a TV figure or listen to a voice or make up my mind through a bunch of people marching in the street and painting signs and crying and screaming. There was a marvelous scene in the Netflix movie series The Crown when in Wales, if you know anything about Queen Elizabeth, well, in Wales back in the 60s, a coal mine, well, the side of a mountain came down and buried a middle school in this small Welsh town. And the whole country was grieved. And there was an interesting scene in this particular series when they expected the Queen to show some kind of outward sorrow for the poor children and adults that had lost their lives in the horrific landslide that killed those people. And the Queen, in her own way, it showed in the series, felt sad about it, but she's not weeping and tearing and stumping and falling. Now that grabbed my attention, because that reminded me, and I know nothing, I'm going to have to look it up later, her sign. But that's exactly the way that I would have responded, the way that she did. No emotion, no outrage. And I think that's why I was able to pastor a church when catastrophe came and all the people were falling apart. I wasn't the last one standing up. I will always stand. Having done all to stand, what does the Bible tell me? Stand. That's what it's all about. And so, I don't know, I have this particular character of mine, which has developed my template on how I face catastrophe. And in the same way, the Queen did not cry, and the Prime Minister of England at that time was having a conversation with her, and she said, what do you want me to do, cry? And the Prime Minister said, well, yes, basically. And then I peered closely at the TV to hear how the writers wrote this. And the Queen said, it's not in me to do that. I've never done that. I understood her 100%. Public people are put on the spot to pretend, because she said, do you want me to pretend? And the Prime Minister said, no, I want you to really show that. She says, I've never done that. And there are people that have never done that. Why can't we accept them the way they are? Do they have to be worth millions? The Queen on some puppeteer's throne? Why can't we accept people and their template for who they are? Now, black men, I think what we have to do is we have to look at what happened to the template that was written, like the one I'm living with right now. I'm living the best of my life because I understand the template by which my life was lived. Do you have a premise plus another premise equals a positive conclusion to your life? Was there a time in the past, okay, which influenced you? Anything or anybody in the past? How about the present? What is influencing you now? And the future, how will your life be an influence? Let's go back to my conversation with the young man that called me. He kept telling me today on the phone, you said in the classroom, you said in the classroom. And I looked at how many times I said that, and I said, my goodness, this young man was listening to everything that I was saying, every word that proceeded out of my mouth, every thought, because he gave perfect acquiescence to it over the phone today for well over an hour in discussing the intimate things of our conversation. So his template, also like my template, has been written. What I'm asking some of you young black men to do that listen to me is think of your lives like this. How are you going to solve the dilemma of us living in the inner cities and are all begin? Listen, I just went on a thing on YouTube and looked at the inner cities of Detroit and Los Angeles, and I'm saying, oh my God, what happened? The parents has freaking given up. Because you see, my template, my kids would not be out walking the street at night like that. My template is that all the people in the family is safe in the house with the front door closed and locked. We are there. I know where my children are. If my boy wanted to sing in a singing group, look, we used to sing in a singing group at night too, but you know what we did? Six or seven of us used to gather under a street light in South Central Los Angeles on, I think the street was Town Avenue and 118th Street. We used to sing doo-wop songs. Everybody in the neighborhood heard us because they would come out on the porches of their home and listen to us sing doo-wop under the street light on the corner. The police would drive by, wouldn't even say anything to us. They just smile and wave at us because that's what we did. See, my template didn't have no gang-ridden stuff, no blood and no Crips on it. Think about that. Two of the meanest but most meaningful gangs in the Los Angeles area were the Bloods and the Crips. I grew up in that. When you look at a lot of the streets of driving in the streets of Los Angeles, that's where I live now. And especially look at the ones that communicate about the Crenshaw area over there where, you know, the guy got shot a couple of months ago. So I live there. I'm there now. In my mind, I'm there. But look where I came from. I watch the whole thing develop and morph into what it is today. Those of you millennials listening to me, that community has changed three and sometimes four of your lifetimes. Now, when you talk to me, and I don't have Alzheimer's, I don't have mental disabilities, you guys need to listen to what the old man is saying. Because it ain't going to remain like this all the time. It's going to become far more difficult to edge out a living, to retain your friends. Listen to me. It's going to take more in order to go a little distance than it has before. So you have to develop a new template to do things by. Guy told me, he said, John, you got to get on this particular site and you got to learn how to create a place to put your stuff up. I have to work on my template on my website constantly to keep it going. What makes you think you don't have to work on yours? Now, most of our templates has been distortedly controlled by what you would call parents that thought that they had our best welfare at hand, but in essence, did not have our best at hand. Because when I look at the children on the street now, the young adults on the streets now, I have to ask the question, what in the hell did the parents do? Or should I say, what is it that they have not done? Now, we don't want to go back and blame our mother and father because that wouldn't be right. It's not about blaming them for anything that we could have caused to take place. But it is about owning up to the fact that some pain has existed. I'm sorry for being awake, but that if your template has been developed through pain and misguided ignorance on behalf of your parents, I don't blame you. I don't blame anybody. But you start writing your template now on how to make your community better. That's what this webcast is all about. You can do it. You can do it. You don't have to worry about what John Coleman is doing. John Coleman is doing what is mandatory. And that is all that can be asked of me. Listen to what I just said. The only thing that can be expected of me as I live my life to the fullest is that which is mandatory. In other words, that which is necessary. That which is supposed to be meaningful to me because I can look it back. Listen now. I'm going to give it to you. I can look back into my life historically and I can honestly say, because I used to say years ago on this very website that you're listening to, that I was molested as a child and that I had this. Well, I was wrong, because every life incident that came my way when I was a child is the past and help influence the template that I'm writing in the present that's going to influence others as they learn from me in the future, long after I'm gone. Because they're going to listen to this podcast alone in the Lucy Coleman studio, and they're going to say, damn it, that man was smart. He had the know-it-all to put it up like this, and he knew that somebody would copy it and take it and build their template. Yes, because that is why God called me to be a pastor, and when the church was a workable source to do, I did it in that capacity. Since the church has gone bunkers, I'm doing it in the capacity that I can only do it in now, and it's my own private template, my own website. I pay for it out of the money that I get every month to keep it up, because I know I'm going to have a flashpoint at least once during the month and put something up of damn good value, and I think that you should build your own freaking template and make sure that your life works, because you're the one that's doing it. You're the one that's planning it. You're the one that's making it work. You got to think about what it's going to take. It's going to take a little bit of sacrifice, because life doesn't happen on a well, if I wish it, it's going to take place. That's a dreamscape. That's what your grandmother taught you. That's what your mother, your auntie told you. Flip that stuff, said, well, I'm just going to keep it plain. Fuck that. You've got to come to the point where you can build your own template and you know what you can do better than anybody else, what you can say better than anybody else can say it. You know exactly who you are. That is the divine nature that God gives every living human being. And it is our responsibility to talk about that and to share that knowledge of intelligence to as many human beings as we can, regardless, no matter how deep they are into the miry pit. When they hear this and they begin to develop their own template, it's like Merle and the bones being built up. It's like calcium making your teeth stronger. It's like every vein connected, every corpuscle working. Tied in, come to it, build your own template, and then your community will get better than you've ever seen it before. And if you have any questions, you can always ask me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, just like I said today, hey, I see you building on your template, or you should listen to my webcast given on December the 4th, 2019, in the Lucy Coleman studio. And I think you'll get better.